At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And good morning here in the UK on the old internet, broadcasting live. Welcome to The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. I'm Chris Grimes. I'm your host. This is the podcast and radio show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guest's choosing. And I'm absolutely delighted to be welcoming today Mike Rollison and Jill Stewart, who are here from walks.co.uk. And we're going to talk initially about Nordic walking, but then we're going to reframe that and put that right. But Mike and Jill, a dynamic husband and wife duo, have now patented some element of walks, which they're going to talk us about. And also Jill, hot off the press, hotly unboxed, is her new book, Walk This Way. If you're of a particular age, you'll remember a punchline to a joke. You know, if I could walk that way, I wouldn't need the talcum powder. But this is all about the supreme health benefits linked to a Nietzsche quote, the best ideas happen outdoors. We're going to talk about all things Nordic walking and beyond. So let me introduce, and I'm very delighted to have here, Mike, who you can see on the left there, and his lovely partner, Jill. Both of them run walks.co.uk, but here you are. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
And what a majestic setting. Can you just talk us where you're piping in through on the old interweb today? Where are you sitting?
We're sitting in sunny Dorset in the village of Corfe Castle.
Love that.
You might hear a steam train in the background in a minute.
And the odd seagull.
Steam trains and seagulls are ours. That's fantastic. So welcome to the show. I'm going to curate you through the structure that I'll explain again for those that haven't seen the show yet. But if you've not seen it, where have you been? I've done about 250 of these monkeys. We met, just to blow a bit of happy smoke at you, through the Entrepreneur's Circle. I went into the Facebook group to talk about one of my series strands called Legacy Life Reflections that I'll talk about at the end. But you're coming into something called a brand strand founder story. So let's get you on the open road. We all have the clunky experience of someone saying, hello, what do you do? I know there's a reframing of Nordic walking coming, very importantly. But if people don't have a frame of reference for the dynamic duo of Mike Rollison and Jill Stewart, what's your favourite way of answering that question? Hello, what do you do?
We get people active and we help them, whether they need rehabilitation, whether they want fitness, whether they just want to be outdoors exercising and meeting other people. But we make sure they get results with every single step they take. And we do that via a network of instructors, a unique product, and some programs that come from our background in the health and fitness and physical activity promotion sector.
And you've been doing this for circa 30 years, I'm gathering, collectively. And in fact, could be 60 if we add both of the maths together.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to age us all, but, you know.
No. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't know if that's good or bad. But anyway, it's...
I first started to teach fitness in 1981. So, you know, leg warmers, Olivia Newton-John, all that jazz. That was me.
And all that jazz is the seminal musical where... leg warmers featured very, very heavily.
Yeah,
I think that was Bob Fosse, I think, was the choreographer of that.
I think I've seen them come around about four times in my lifetime.
Yes, and they could be back again. Who knows?
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah.
And Mike, you're an epic skier back in the day. You're a silky skier, aren't you?
Yeah, I had a life in the outdoors and, very much my whole career from, you know, from the age of 21 has been basically started off in the outdoor side and the sector and then moved into running health clubs. And then I became a director of the Fitness Industry Association, my SINs, representing all the owner operators through the UK and getting the industry to mapped into government framework and trying to get the standards in place. So that's been my life.
And how wonderfully appropriate in Corfe Castle, you've sat outside in order to broadcast. Normal people, most people, and this is a compliment. Most people would be on the other side of that window frame, trying to broadcast on Restream, you know, through their inside their office or workspace. But you're outside, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad you used the statement that we're not normal because normal doesn't.
It is a compliment.
We don't
promise.
Normal.
No, we're very non-corporate. And any of our team will tell you it's quite hard to get us to sit still or indoors for very long. So
my test is whether you'll sit still long enough to allow me to curate you through. And you talk it's about total body walking. So just tell us a little bit about that. And obviously we'll go deeper into it as we go through.
Okay, so total body walking is an evolvement from using poles for fitness training, which is what cross-country skiers did and which is what Nordic walking was all about. Total body walking is a less coached, sporty version of that, which has become kind of all about technique and doing it correctly, whereas probably because we are not conformists, we've broken it down and looked at what do people need to get from poles, how can we make that really, really easy for them to get onto them and get results from them from the beginning in a much more natural, fluid way. So that's what total body walking is, and it also allows us to add strength, flexibility, conditioning, and for people to connect with nature in a relaxed way rather than strict Nordic walking.
Yes, and the exciting patent is to do with a universal grip now attached to your walks poles.
Gentleman here invented those.
So it was our opportunity to take our fitness industry knowledge to walking. We actually worked with our partner, Fisan, in Italy, that had been making poles for 80 years. And we looked at developing the perfect ergonomic handle that basically that natural movement when you're walking, but enhanced walking. So we designed and patented ergonomic handles and worked with the poles from Fisan. And that's now the flagship of what we do around those poles.
So you said flag there, flagpole. It's the joke that's going to keep on giving. You've run it up the flagpole. At the top of the flagpole is this patented handle, which is now, I suppose, it's the entrepreneur's dream because you've found the dream widget now, because that's what's going to be the thing that will make everything easier for everybody.
Yeah, and because we were very much about the service side of helping people get active, get results from activity. We were all about programming for encouraging people to get effective exercise. But actually now the poles themselves are a vehicle of which people can now buy, and they don't have to come to one of our clubs or groups. But also most of the poles were made out in China or Asia, and we actually looked at it and went, actually, sustainability, flying them from China, carbons. So very much working with Fisan in Italy, it was also about looking at that sustainability aspect.
Yep.
And longer term, we're even trying to work with the likes of British Wool to see whether we could actually make the handles out of a byproduct of wool as well.
Ah, yes. Wonderful. So.
But when we first started, we looked at all of the benefits of using poles, but also all the negatives of trying to teach people. And actually, one of the key ones was, well, you don't actually hold the pole with Nordic walking. You have to have a strap on it, but not actually hold the handle. And when we're trying to get people onto them, it confuses them and whatever. So we went out in lockdown and we looked at how your hand is when you walk, and we molded something to fit into how your hand is when you naturally walk, so we can enhance natural gait and engage the core with every step you take.
Enter the Sting song, every step you take, every walk you make.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, in the book, there are so many walking songs as well.
Lovely. And may I say, walk this way into the clearing. Hurrah.
Yes.
So it all takes place energetically in a clearing or serious happy place of my guest's choosing. I'm then going to arrive with a tree. There's going to be a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There's some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels. Oh, squirrels. A cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's absolutely all to play for. I really enjoy doing it when it's a duo, because obviously you've had to think extra hard on who's going to answer what, and that'll be quite interesting insight into the quality of your manager as well, as you decide who's going to answer what. So, first of all, a clearing. Where is, what is your serious happy place, would you say? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational, and able to think?
Out on a walk. Just go walking every time. Need to clear my head, need to think of the next chapter, need to think of a programme. I do that when I'm walking. And I think you do the same, do you?
Yeah, this is when we moved on to look at, start something new. And we lived out in Chamonix in the Alps. So we did a lot of walking in the clean air of the mountains. And suddenly we came back to life within being productive and new thoughts while we were walking. So we each do our own thing. I mean, I go out early in the morning, taking the dog out that you might hear in the background in a minute. So I do apologise if she contributes to the meeting.
We love dogs.
But that's where I get my real thoughts from, not for the day, but thinking of the future. So
it sounds like you've now become specific. You want it to be in the Chamonix Alps, where you want to stick your walks pole in the sand to go, or in the mountainscape to say, this is where we're walking. Although it sounds like you can walk anywhere pretty much and you find that same state.
Yeah. Anywhere. I mean, Mike likes to walk up a hill and look out over Poole Harbour. He likes to push himself. I do like the exercise factor, but I'm really into mindful and walking slowly and really listening, smelling, picking flowers, making wild teas, that kind of thing as well.
And what's so exciting is obviously your perfect companion for your walks is often your dog. Dogs, as we know, are perfect companions because they're always living in the clock of now.
Actually.
And that's the best type of companion, because we forget to be truly present when we're walking. In researching you, there was a statistic which you may please feel free to correct me on, but apparently using the walks poles is 40% more dynamic than not using them in terms of what the health benefits are. Was that a correct presumption?
It's one of, there's lots of different measurements, because it depends on the fitness of the individual and how much they can move and stride, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be from 20 to 40%, but you're engaging 90% of your muscles. You're smiling much more. Your posture's better. Your core is engaged and you're striding out. So there's huge benefits cardiovascularly, but also the poles do aid you. So for people that aren't very good at walking, it means they can walk. And for people that are good at walking, it means they can perform much better, faster, further, etc.
And we'll talk about this, I know, in greater depth, but the community that you've curated is very impressively large now. So how many people are in the total body walking community?
In the UK, there's over 500,000 people that have gone through our induction course, which is the first or one of our programs. So very much Jill writes the programs according. So we may be working with people that live with Parkinson's. We might be working with rehab. We could be working with people that want fitness. And very much our ethos was around empowering people, motivators within a community. They're the ones that are going to change people's lives. And then we give them the skills and the support to then go and change lives within their community. We have about 60,000 members in the UK, but now we've extended out abroad. So we're working in a lot of European countries, and we've recently launched in Taiwan. We're already in Malaysia. So we see that as the new gateway to Asia, which is really exciting. The only problem is with the sustainability. We might have to move the production of poles back to China or Taiwan, because we're not shipping them from Italy.
We don't want to be shipping out there.
I'm with you. That's a sort of made in Taiwan stereotype that you're trying to subvert, basically.
Well, no, it's just we love Taiwan and we've got really good partners out there. But we made a conscious decision that we wouldn't be shipping poles that we were supplying. And now we started to work with Taiwan. We don't want that to be in reverse.
Yes.
So if we continue to grow as we think we will, then we'll look at ways somehow that products can be manufactured closer to the people that are buying them.
The sustainability piece is wonderful to hear as well. Yeah. So we're in it. We're outdoors. We're walking. You can be specific. I talked about Chamonix. Are you happy with that, or would you like to pin your walk stick somewhere else? Where would you like to be?
I think Chamonix was the heart where we started from, and to a certain extent, our heart is still there. But now we very much to make this happen, we realised we had to come back to the UK. And I actually said to Jill, if we come back to the UK, the only place I want to live is down on the south coast, where I spent my life every weekend coming down here. But we chose Dorset as the place to base ourselves. So it was reasonably easy to get around the country.
Really?
From busy summertime.
When I asked the question about how large the community is, do have a happy boast. How many people have been positively impacted, would you say, by what it is you're curating?
Well, in the financial figure, you know, we as an industry work with the NHS for many years, and a few years ago they gave a really interesting quote that they reckon that a 1% improvement in physical activity would knock over 1 billion off the financial cost in preventative medicine to the NHS every year. Now, I would equate with the fact that we've already changed the lives of over 500,000 people in the UK. We're probably contributing to the taxpayer by what we do. We're saving the NHS probably £1 billion every year already.
Lovely story.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm now going to arrive with a tree in your clearing, which is definitely quintessentially and very importantly outdoors. And I'm going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. This is a bit deliberately Samuel Beckett-y, a bit, how do you like these apples, waiting for Godot. This is where you've had 5 minutes to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, and then two things that never fail to grab your attention is the, squirrels that we'll talk about when we get there, and the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you, both or independently, that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. So it's not a memory test, but over to you to shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit. So four things
that... We're going to do two each, so there you go.
On the things that shaped us, well, I think, and it's really interesting because I was in my late 30s when we met, and we come from very different backgrounds, but we both had very unconventional childhoods. So, and I think that really has shaped me. In fact, I know it has shaped me because my parents were absolutely obsessive campers. And when we talk about camping, it's any weather, every weekend, off we would go. They would run campsites. They just loved camping. So I grew up knowing every county in the UK, going to all the most wonderful places, never being indoors, and absolutely hating Sundays. And when I met Mike, I found out, well, he'll tell you his story, it was exactly the same, because your parents...
In a similar vein, I was outdoors except every weekend. I was coming down to the south coast and going sailing. So from the age of 4 through to virtually the rest of my life, I was heading in a different way and being in the outdoors in the sailing environment, whereas Jill was heading north in the camping side.
So you both went feral, but independently. You were going feral.
Very feral. But the interesting link which Jill brought out is when we were driving back from the south coast and Jill was driving back from wherever, we were listening to the same things on the radio, and it's
this came out, I think, again, we were driving back and we knew we had to work the next day, and we were discussing how as youngsters we both absolutely hated that Sunday afternoon, packing the tent up, heading back, and my mood would drop all the way back home. When we were discussing this, I said, I just distinctly remember being in the car And my parents would have Radio 2 on, and it was something called Sing Something Simple. And Mike immediately went, oh, so did we. And his parents used to listen to this program.
I remember it.
Sing Something Simple.
Mike, wonderful. Thank you for that memory for me too.
What shaped me was that my parents were very entrepreneurial. They were in the timber industry. And I think one of the things that really shaped me more than anything was my father, how he actually came from being an employee to running his own business. Was he worked in a timber company and he'd heard that Ford needed an awful lot of timber. So what he did is he borrowed an office from a friend of his, and my mother sat in the office with a typewriter, and there were lots of busy people around, and he put up a little sign saying Rollison Timber. And so the Ford buyers came in, and he didn't say it wasn't his offices. They just came in, and of course they assumed, and he won the contract of supplying all the timber for Ford Fair. Mm. And he then became very much of probably what shaped me was living in this world of an entrepreneurial family. And I think that was a big shape for me.
To pick that office, how did he end up in the right office at the right time with the right sign? Because how did he know that Ford were going to walk past? And
No. He invited them, saying he'd had a little business card done up. He handed them, said, I would like to come and talk to me. I would love to supply you and quote you for the timber. And I think that little bit of cheek, and I love business. I've spent a life. But if you look where you came from, there's always the boundaries that you can step across without being, you know, too far across those boundaries.
Such a lovely story.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And for me, it was, you might remember the Dunlop Book of Facts that used to come out every year. And my dad was an avid knowledge person. He had to keep reading. He had to keep getting facts. And he used to test us on the counties and the geography, everything. I always remember those little quizzes from the Dunlop Book of Facts. So I credit that to why I gather and retain the weirdest facts.
And may I ask, are you the dream team elite squad for a pub quiz then, because of your love of random facts?
Jill is. I'm not. I can't even remember my name by the end of the week.
You can do the sport stuff.
You have to be careful though, Chris. If you've spoken to Jill, it will be in that grey matter. And even 20, 30 years on, it will still be there in some way.
I like the fact that you say you've got to be careful there. So there's a caution there. Beware, because she remembers everything. Great dynamic. And now we're talking about three things that inspire you now.
Well, I worked many years ago again for Body Shop in the early days. And I was totally inspired by Anita Roddick. But it was around the fact that she just wouldn't be bowed by anything. Everything was professional when we were there, and that's always stuck with me. And the fact that it was a brand that could make a difference, and I always wanted to, if I was going to do anything, I wanted to make a difference, and I wanted it to be as positive as that experience with her was. So Anita Roddick is number one. And number two is a really weird one. I was flying to Australia in the 90s and I picked up a book in the airport about Aborigines, as you do. And I sat and read that on the plane, and the whole ethic of if they come across something, it's always got a meaning, and they wouldn't eat something unless they're hungry. That whole ethos of being at one with nature and the world really stuck with me. And the weirdest thing about that is the guy sitting next to me was reading the same book, and some of the stuff in the book was around about, you know, how things happen for a reason, and we spent quite a lot of the time on the flight trying to work out what the reason could be for that one.
You've just reminded me of that beautiful film Walkabout with Jenny Agutter in it. I don't know if you remember that was of the same era that we were describing.
Everything about the Walkabout,
I think from my point of view, I saw the question in one of the early businesses I ran. There was a lovely customer that used to come in, and he was so polite, and, you know, he's such a lovely guy. And it took me probably 12 months to find out he was a guy called Bob Edmiston. I won't go into all the details, but he owns International Motors. And if you read their story, you know, he was an accountant that went out and decided to become an entrepreneur. And he took the importership of Mitsubishi and Subaru and Isuzu, and how he grew. But I think he for me inspired me that you could be a really nice person, but you could still run a very profitable big business and you don't have to be totally ruthless.
And just say his name one more time.
Bob Edmiston.
I like the fact you've bookended with Anita Roddick and Bob Edmiston in there.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes business is frowned upon, but if business is done correctly and somebody like our instructors can actually earn a living while they're helping others, they don't want to be made rich out of it. But business is not always bad. It shouldn't be seen bad that somebody is making a living. You know, if it's all about profit and not about the consumer, then that's wrong. But business itself can be done by nice people and it can be a good thing.
And ethically done. Lovely. Great interpretation of everything I'm giving you to interpret so far. And now we're on to the squirrels. You know, what are your two monsters of distraction? This is borrowed from the film Up, deliberately. My family think I'm a loony for this bit. My wife said, that'll never work, but it's become a lot of people's favourite bit. You can be the judge of this. But what are your, squirrels, borrowed from the film Up, what two shiny objects never fail to stop you in your tracks, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you in your head?
For me, if I ever pass a river, one of my passions that I do is fly fishing. And we used to, as lads, and if I see a river, that's it. Stop, pull the car over. I've got to go and look at that river and see if I can see a trout rising or something like that.
And presumably you like the Gone Fishing program with Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse.
Yeah, I think it's good that it's brought it into mainstream and attract a lot of new people that probably wouldn't be involved with it. And I think that particular storyline is great because that goes way beyond just a bit of fishing.
And may I ask, do you always have a rod in your boot, if you'll pardon that particular expression?
I do, yeah.
And he has his boots in the boot.
Yeah, I do. I'm not exactly Mr. Travel Light. And Jules called me Stig of the Dump, is that I always have to have the right bag. And
it's another great reference, Stig of the Dump. I love that too.
Yeah, I always have tucked in the back of the car. It's just in case.
And I'm assuming you've got a boot full of walks sticks, because why wouldn't you? But who knows?
Yeah. People say, why do you always drive such big cars? I need to carry everything with me, just in case.
So that's one squirrel. And then do you want to interpret one too, Jill?
Yeah, mine is trees. I can't not stop at an amazing tree and I'll quite often just stop a conversation and say, oh, wow, look at that tree. And some people really buy into that and will look at it. And other people just, you can see them going, it's just a tree. It is never just a tree. Take your time. It's never just a tree.
So resonant. In a clearing is a tree and you and me. And that's the whole point. And in fact, just yesterday, I took a walk up through Colleton in Devon to look at a tree that had just been shouting out to me from down below. Took a long way to get there and it was not on the main beaten path, but I specifically went to take a picture of a tree and stand next to it.
Yeah, they are just fascinating.
And of course, the tragedy of what happened at Sycamore Gap as well was something else that was very seismic.
No, still feel the pain of that one.
And how lovely, for coming back to your story, that it's, you've bookended again deliciously with rivers and trees as squirrels. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. So unfortunately, material things for me are just, you know, I'm not interested in gold or pearls.
We do have a problem with the squirrel, because Bessie, that's sitting in the background moaning, squirrels are the one thing she'll go and chase. So we have a slight problem that the peace and quiet is disrupted if there's a squirrel about.
So I love that. Bessie and squirrels, and that's the dog from Up, if you like. That's the point. Yeah. So you've got it. Yeah. Thank you.
You might join our meeting in the moment, the way she's moaning. So.
She'd be very welcome. So now it's a quirky, we're onto the one now, a quirky or unusual fact about you both that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
We're actually going back to the fishing theme, that when my brother and I were, he was 10 and I was 8, and my parents put us on a trout fishing course in near Birmingham. And suddenly a film crew turned up and it was Johnny Morrison, Animal Magic. So I appeared on Johnny Morrison, Animal Magic. And even to the point, it was the time which my parents dashed out and bought a colour TV because their two sons were going to appear on TV. So that's my little claim to fame.
That's a really cool fact. And you got a colour TV upgrade as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And mine was, I did for a very short period in my life, when I was about 17, I decided that I would go and work in the city. And so I became a civil servant and went and worked in London and hated every minute of it. But I saw a very famous hair salon was quite close by, and they put one of those signs out that they wanted models for the hairdressing students to practice on. So I thought, I'll get a trendy free haircut. Went in, had a purdy cut, again, reference to the good old days, had this stunning purdy cut, and they took a few photos. I thought, oh, that was really nice. Great. You know, parents weren't overly impressed with the haircut when I got home, but I was very proud of it. And it was a few weeks later that colleagues and people were pointing at me and saying, oh, yeah, I saw that picture of you. And then my dad was furious, because on the underground, suddenly my face appeared with this purdy cut advertising said chain of salons. And my dad pointed out that I'd got nothing for that picture.
Because it wasn't ethical, which all business should be. It was not, as we say, ethical. But Purdy is great company. That's Joanna Lumley, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was the Joanna Lumley cut, was the Purdy
cut. But to be fair, Chris, we're always, because we wrapped our brains with that one, and we did a very similar thing when we took a group from the fitness industry on a ski trip, and we were sitting around the table and we asked a very similar question. What factors, what can you do? Yeah. And we went around the table with all our great little stories. But the one that we could never, so we looked at this guy and we said, well, okay, beer. And he goes, I was the Milky Bar kid. And he went, that is fantastic. You just looked at him. He was the Milky Bar, one of them. And he went, well, I can never beat that one.
I've never done that one since, because it's just been topped for us. And the minute he did the thing, you could just see the specs on him, and it was him. Yeah,
fantastic.
Cool fact. And thank you so much for the care, attention and commitment you put into the 54321. That's lovely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And now we're going to stay in your clearing, which is definitely quintessentially outdoors. And now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. When you're at purpose and in flow, what are you both absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Gardening. I'm tending my plants and gardening.
For me, it's fly fishing. That's where I'm happiest.
He's tickling a trout.
Can't beat tickling a trout.
And obviously writing, reading, writing, gardening.
Oh, what a gorgeous segue into now putting your book on a metaphorical plinth within the clearing at the Alchemy and Gold moment. So, Walk This Way is your new book. There is going to be a QR code as well. So if you're listening at this point, this is your brand new, only just unboxed new book. So talk us through your book, Walk This Way, Jill.
It's a culmination of everything that I've done. So about getting people active, about loving the planet and wanting to be part of that and being active, being fit, but not this thing about exercise being somebody who's really fit and loves being fit, barking at you and telling you what to do. It's about you can work your whole body and your mind on a daily walk. So you can work your cardiovascular, you can do drills for speed, you can do strength, you can do balance, you can get everything you need on a daily walk. And so the book is chapters about how to do that. And then the final chapter is lots of bonkers ideas for making a walk more interesting.
And for those of us watching as well as listening, there is a QR code where you can go straight to where you can buy Walk This Way.
It's being released next Thursday.
Congratulations and wonderful stuff. And now I'm going to award you with a cake. Hurrah. So do you like cake, first of all?
I love it.
I like cakes too much. Yeah, unfortunately. But yes, I love cake.
Polenta cake is just, raspberry polenta cake is the best.
Nom, 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 nom. And Mike, what cake do you want to go for?
Oh, Battenberg.
Retro Battenberg. Excellent. The almond and the pink and the yellow.
He makes one every week.
Do you? That's
actually,
it.
No, I tell you the cake. It's, well, is it a cake? Dorset apple cake. Mm. Now then you're talking. If you haven't had Dorset apple cake, that's the one. Yeah.
You've tickled our senses with Battenberg apple cake and the, what did you say? The, what was your cake?
Polenta. Raspberry polenta cake.
Yes, polenta. So I'm going to award you with that's the cake. And now you get to put a cherry on your cakes because you've done plural. And this is now, what's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your futures?
Unfortunately, the quote I actually do refer, the more people I meet in life, the more I love my dog.
Apart from at the moment now while she's moaning in the
apart
background.
Apart from in the background, which I...
That's a lovely self-penned quote. The more people I meet in life, the more I love my dog. Has anyone else said that before? That's it. That's a Mike Rollison.
It's unfortunate as you get older and grumpier in life, then that's part of growing old. But apparently Mark Twain originally supposedly said it, and then some French guy said it, so in a different way. So I think it's been around a long time.
I think quite a lot of women have said, the more men I meet, the more I like my dog.
I think that was, yeah. So I think it's something of which it's well known. And I think, again, especially post-COVID, where we've changed in life and there seems to be a lot more grumpy people around in the world.
Yeah.
Feeling sorry for themselves. And, it's something of which I can relate to.
And for me, it is walking is man's best medicine. Hippocrates, and also the Latin phrase solvitur ambulando, which means it is solved by walking.
And let's deliberately reincorporate those two, because I heard Batman there, but then Socrates.
So, walking is man's best medicine.
Yep.
Which was Hippocrates, and then solvitur ambulando, which is just it is solved by walking, and it's an old Latin phrase.
Gorgeous. Lovely jubbly. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given by somebody else?
Going back to business side, he's another lovely guy, Dutch guy that I work with in the fitness industry called Harm Tiglers. And if anybody knows Cannons, and he was the man that pioneered. And he said to me one day, he said, Mike, never get into bed with anybody bigger than you, because when they roll over, they'll crush you. And I thought, he's absolutely right.
That was great. Wonderful.
And mine was just when I think I'd either written something or done something, and then I saw it being copied and was a little bit frustrated by it. And I was told by a very good friend, just accept the fact that you're brilliant at what you do. And so if you're successful, people will copy you. And I just, when I see it now, I just go, come on then, AI, say everything. I know I said it first.
Lovely. With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger version of either Walks or yourself, you know, however you'd like to interpret that, the best, you know, what advice you'd give yourself?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. But whenever I meet people, I like to know who I'm dealing with. So I always imagine who they were in the classroom when we were 11 years old. And when you think back, you might have a 55-year-old in front of you, you might have a 35, you might have a 70-year-old. That 11-year-old is still there. And I try and imagine when you were back in that classroom at 11 years old, who that person is, whether they're the school bully, whether they're the geek, because that true character is still there. Might get disguised, but that is there still. And I think that will save people a lot of heartache, and also give them a better understanding of who they're working with.
I love that. Absolutely love that. It links beautifully to the Einstein supposition that if you can't be clear to a six-year-old, it's not the six-year-old's fault. And then winding forward to being 11, you know, the autonomy of thought age begins there. Love that.
Well, I think that's for the words 11. I just imagine that they were old enough to be their true character.
Yes.
But they haven't yet then started to disguise it in whatever form that might come. And not that's not a deliberate act, it's just naturally. But they're old enough and wise enough at 11 years old.
That's a great leadership reflection. Thank you for that.
And mine is really just surround yourself with selfless people and not selfish people. Because as soon as I come across someone, if somebody says to me, oh, I want to be an instructor, how much will I earn? Then don't bother.
It's the wrong question.
how many people do you want to help, and are you going to gain something from doing that?
Yes.
Then come and talk to me. And that's the way we operate, selfless people.
And may I congratulate you both at this point for how you're interpreting the structure of all this. It's a delight. We're ramping up to Shakespeare, finally, in a moment, to talk about legacy and how you'd like to be remembered. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. They don't like it up by Mr. Menring. But who, now you've experienced this from within the construct of the Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, who might you most like to pass the golden baton along to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
Yeah, we had a thought about this, and
there's only one,
and I think for you, Chris, he would be absolutely fantastic. His name is Paul Brown, and he's based on the Gold Coast of Australia, and he's a leading light presenter in the fitness industry, and he's been a friend of ours for 30 years. And his story, so I won't go into
it. No, we mustn't tell his story.
Honestly, we will pass the baton to introduce, because he will entertain and he's a great person. We will pass the baton to.
Thank you. I'm excited already. Thank you very much. And now, finally then, Shakespeare. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. With the how, when all is said and done, borrowed from the Seven Ages of Man's speech, would you most like to be remembered?
Well, it's an interesting one, because we've had to really struggle with coming out of the shadows. And, you know, both of us, interestingly, have had business partners that have been the front person. And I've been quite happy being in the background. And I think we both think the same, that what we've created with now with the product and the patent, which is literally life-changing, what we would like to see as a legacy is that is all around the world, changing lives, that it gives people a vehicle that we can look back, and rather than it being us with our name on it, we would smile to ourselves wherever we might be in the future, looking down on Earth,
yes,
and saying, we invented that, and we had a blank sheet of paper and we redesigned it, and people have adopted it as a mainstream way of improving their health and well-being.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I want to be a tree. I don't want to have a gravestone, but if I did, a pair of poles on it with she made something we all do better, faster, you know, easier, fun, then that's fine for me.
And now we're going to show the QR code to walks.co.uk. So just talk us through, if you're not watching this, just tell us what the website is, and you can also scan the QR code.
So basically, it is at this stage in life, it is a summary where people can go, whether they're a member of the public, whether they are wanting to be an instructor with a new career, whether they're wanting to be a retailer, whether they're wanting to be a social prescriber. It's somewhere that they can go to a resource and hopefully find information of which then we can engage with them. Yeah. But it's an opening.
Yeah.
Book.
I mean, if people can't find a club near them and they can't find someone to show them how to walk with our poles and do all of our programs and exercises outdoors, then we can engage with them online as well. So we are just there to help people walk and you know, whether they can and they want to improve their walking, or whether they just want to get more into it and find out how valuable it can be for them.
And it's also a retail store where they can buy.
Of course.
Lovely. And if you are, you know, obviously very intelligent lay people out there wanting to Google about and how to get going in this, will they find you if they Google Nordic walking, or is that the whole point? They need to go somewhere different?
They probably will, because we established that. We brought it into the UK many moons ago. They'll also find us under walks, walx.co.uk, total body walking, you know, and walks poles. All of those things should lead to us and our lovely instructors and clubs out there.
So if we've done our job right, we've reversed engineered 10 years of Nordic walking over the last 5 years into the new brand, which is Walks and Total Body Walking. So we are in we've very much changed the narrative to make sure that our message was being told. So if Google's doing its job right, then hopefully they'll find Total Body Walking and Walks for the next. But if they went to Nordic Walking, then they'll still find us, because we still have a very strong presence in that arena.
Wonderful. So there'll be a final question coming up in just a moment, but just a couple of announcements. If you've been listening to the show and would like a conversation about guesting too, then the website for The Good Listening To Show is thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. That's thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, me, Chris Grimes, motivational comedian, broadcaster, facilitator and coach, you can do that too. And then very, very excitingly, the third one to show you is a new series strand that I know Mike and Jill are going to overtly help me with as well, which is wonderful, which is called Legacy Life Reflections. And without any morbid intention, Legacy Life Reflections is using this unique storytelling structure to record the story of somebody near, dear or close to us for posterity, lest we forget before it's too late. Again, no morbid intention, but it's just a new way to capture that precious life. And it takes just 2 hours of your life to capture that precious story forever. So, Mike Rollison, Jill Stewart, this has been your moment in the Good Listening To Show Sunshine. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, apart from I think your new proposal, and we look forward to helping you within that. And I think it's a great idea. And we just, you know, welcome the opportunity to share what we do. And I think it's a great platform, and we really appreciate your time.
As you can see from today, we've dragged things out from many, many years ago. And I think chatting to someone and them asking you those questions, it does show what shaped you. And I think this is a great concept for getting that information out for posterity.
Wonderful. And thank you so much for the wonderful care and attention. And I loved how you divided up the narrative as you went through. That was a perfect curated episode for me. You'd done your homework and it was much appreciated. Yeah. So, ladies and gin, min, I've been Chris Grimes, but most importantly, this is Mike Rollison and Jill Stewart. And don't forget to buy Walk This Way, and also keep walking this way, because that's the whole point. It's total body walking. So anything else you'd like to say finally, the two of you?
No.
It's
goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
The two Ronus as we leave us. So thank you very much indeed for watching. So thank you very much indeed.
Good night. Bye.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at thegoodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Legacy Life Reflections. If you've been thinking about how to go about recording your life story or the life story of somebody close to you for posterity, but in a really interesting, effortless and creative way, then maybe The Good Listening To Show can help. Using the unique structure of the show, I'll be your host as together we take a trip down memory lane to record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of either your or their life story. And then you can decide whether you go public or private with your episode. Get in touch if you'd like to find out more. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.